Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to episode 203 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Rome Marathon. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey runners, and welcome back to episode 203 of the Marathon Running Podcast. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we're back on to tell you all about all things running, including training and practicing how to run faster in certain ways and all that stuff, and nutrition. And today we're going to do a recap, and the recap is going to be of the 2024 Rome Marathon.
Your favorite type of podcast.
Yes, I do love doing recaps. But before we hop into that, I wanted to thank you listeners for tuning in and listening to us, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing this podcast. So thank you so much. If you're new, welcome. I hope that we can provide you content that can help you with your running.
And thanks for the feedback and comments whenever you give them.
Yes, exactly. So before we hop into this recap episode, I want to talk about some current events. Obviously, the Boston Marathon is lurking around the corner. Do you say lurking?
Yeah.
So it's lurking around the corner, just another week to go. If you're going, let me know. Contact me on Instagram. I'm super excited. I'll be going to all the events. And the New York City Marathon finally released all the information as to who had been selected to run this year's marathon. Apparently, there was 165,000 applicants. And
for how many spots?
Well, in 2023, there were 51,000 participants. There is a time qualifying option, which before was a very tedious process. Even with a time qualifier, you had to kind of do first come, first serve. So you had to sit on the computer and try to get into the marathon that way. And depending on the speed of your browser and all that stuff, you would or would not get in. I've tried three times, and the last time I was able to sign up for the New York City Marathon. Well, this year, it seemed like they were trying to make it easier by giving all the time qualifiers from non-New York City races a window. I think it was about a week, where they could just submit their application regardless of when they submit the application. However, there were so many applicants that the cutoff times were quite crazy. And just to kind of give you an idea, for a 50-year-old male, the time qualifier was, and this is not official New York City data, the time qualifying time was a 2:55:31. For a 40-year-old male, that would make it a 2:39:31. For females, 40 years, it was a 3:07:31. And for females, 50 years of age, 3:32:31. So as you can see, those times are quite fast. So there goes New York. I'm sure they're probably going to fine-tune all this, but you know, you can't really stop the fact that more and more people are trying to get into this marathon, and that you have that many applicants and only this many spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of turning into more like the Boston Marathon, huh?
I think it's actually harder to get into New York right now than the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, and New York City is a popular place.
It is, and it's a large marathon too. They can accommodate 50,000 people, whereas Boston, you know, the streets are smaller and all that stuff. Another one that's really difficult to get into is the London Marathon. They have a good 4-H time qualifying process, but it's only applicable for UK residents. So the rest of us play the lottery every year. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I've been playing the lottery for probably 4 or 5 years.
Never know.
Never know. Never know. It'll be like Tokyo, where suddenly I'm like, okay, I got to go somewhere in March.
So today we're going to talk about the Rome Marathon, though.
Yes, we are. So let's get into that. Let's talk about Rome a little bit and the race, the history of the race, and other race information.
So I tried to look up the history of the Rome Marathon and actually got some conflicting information about when it started. On their website, it actually says the Rome Marathon throughout history, you know, can be dated back to 1906, which is really old. But then, you know, you go to other sources and it has different dates. So I think like one thing you did find was like the modern edition or the most recent edition that you saw was when 1995 or something.
Yeah. 1995, making this year having been the 29th edition.
So that's of the current rendition, I guess, or I don't know, maybe they had gaps in it before and then they had some gaps after too, but they're small for the most part from 1995 on. It seems to have been run at least. So what else?
So the marathon has a record of 206.42, which was actually reached this year by Aspel Ruto, which was kind of cool. I wish we could have witnessed him crossing the finish line. 206 is pretty fast, but you know, the fact that it was that gives you something to think about, given that the world record and other marathons are run so much faster. And I think part of it is the fact that there's about 6 kilometers of the race being run on cobblestone. The elevation, however, is only about 20 meters, which is about 60 feet here and there. We ran it really slowly, so I don't feel like we could appreciate or not appreciate the hills so much because of the pace that we were going, but I didn't find it very strenuous at all.
Yeah, agreed. I don't really remember many hills, but I know there were some decent hills there.
Definitely at the end.
I think Stockholm seemed a lot hillier to me.
Yes, absolutely. As for sights, the Rome Marathon is super scenic, very, very beautiful. Another reason that the marathon probably doesn't have a super fast time is that the prize money amount is not as high as other races would have it. And also the marathon is taking place in Rome where, you know, it's Mediterranean climate, comparable to California with temperatures around 60 degrees. 50, 60 degrees, which is not ideal for racing and PRing. Probably would like a cooler temperature to do that in.
Yeah. I mean, I know the day that we raced, it seemed like it was actually a little bit warm, but it was nice. I think it was a little warmer than predicted, actually.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we were also not straining, so that helped us. But had we run a little bit harder, we probably would have felt the temperature. I mean, I was running in my sports bra. I was warm enough for that. So, you know, that goes to show something. I don't run every race in a sports bra.
So what brought us to Rome and the Rome Marathon?
So, okay, there's two different sides of the story. My story is my brother wanted to run his first marathon and he has his favorite city being Rome. So he selected Rome as his first marathon site. And I agree because I will never say no to traveling if it's plausible. The other side of the story is my brother said, hey, it's the Rome Marathon. Rome is your favorite city. You should run it. I personally believe me.
So we'll actually hear from your brother later because we'll bring him on.
It was his
first marathon. So it's kind of a cool perspective. And we can get into that later.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the qualifying time and training that you needed for this race. Rome does not have a qualifying time, and it doesn't seem like they ever really sell out on their race. The race had about 13,000 people. It seemed much larger, though. And it was, we signed up. When did we sign up? Probably in February, because you didn't know if you would have the time off for this marathon. And it was fairly easy. You navigate the website. If you come from a foreign country, normally for European races, you need a medical waiver. However, Rome has an exception to that. If you are running it for fun, you're not competing in it, then that's waived. And so we just filled that out online. It was very simple with their Google translated sites. And that was that.
Yeah. So we flew to Rome flying from the United States to Rome wasn't too difficult. It's not too far.
Well, I felt like it was a little bit tedious because we live in Fort Myers, Florida, and we drove the car over to Miami. And then from Miami, we flew to New York. And from New York, we flew to Rome. I could have done without the drive from Fort Myers to Miami, which is approximately 3 hours.
Yeah, I think the difficulty with us is I had to get the time off. So we had to like fly out and get there immediately right before we can pick up our bibs and do all the expo stuff. So if we had a little bit more time, it'd be a little easier. But overall, you know, for an international marathon, I didn't think it was too bad, but yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad at all. So then we arrived on Saturday and literally had to rush to the expo. With just a few hours prior to closing, we got to the expo. The expo had a huge line, and we always talk about expos, so we're going to kind of go into that a little bit. We compare expos all over the place. The expo had a line outside.
Usually you like to go on Fridays, right? Before?
I like to go Thursdays or Fridays. Thursdays. But obviously that wasn't possible since we didn't really leave till Saturday. So it was literally fly, get there, head to the expo, and then stand in line.
It was quite a line.
It was a huge line. The line was divided by bib numbers. There was a lot more men compared to women. So the men's race was divided for the first, 7,000 and the next 7,000. They had huge lines. For women, it was just one kind of shorter line. But obviously, I was going with my brother, with you, and my brother's friend. So it was not really possible for me to just go in and get everybody's bib. We had to all wait for each other.
And they might have had more organization than it seemed, but it felt like we were all waiting in lines, and then they would let a chunk of people into the expo, and then you'd still have to go find the spot to get your bib anyway. But then they'd wait and let more people in and then wait. I'm sure they were regulating it based on the size of the building they used. But yeah, there's a decent amount of waiting out front. But then go ahead. And then you didn't actually like the expo that much. I don't know if the waiting influenced your decision at all, but you said that inside, you know, it wasn't your favorite.
Yeah, so ideally, I feel like an expo should be a huge hall with kind of a gridlock of vendors, and for the person, the runner, to walk in, collect their bib, and then just kind of zigzag through the lines and try out different things in the booth. Here, you had the bib pickup in the beginning, and then the building wasn't a hall. It was just a regular office building. So you kind of went down a hallway, and then you went downstairs to collect your shirt. And then you went from the back to the front to walk by a few booths to, I can't say that word, to then collect whatever you wanted. I also didn't really feel like there was any gear that was interesting to me.
I don't remember having a lot of stuff for sale.
Yeah, and the expo was also pretty far south. We Ubered. If you would have taken public transportation, it probably would have taken you 45 minutes to go there from Trastevere, where we were staying, which is southwest of the Colosseum, probably 10, 15-minute walk. So it was kind of far, and I really don't remember getting there because I fell asleep in the Uber twice. So tired. But yeah, so then, the only thing that we picked up at the expo was they gave us a backpack, which was cute, you know, rather than giving us a disposable plastic bag, they had made these backpacks for the runners where you could just have a sticker and put your bib number on it. So you knew, you know, this would be your check bag. The other thing that I picked up besides that was just samples of dog food, which I don't know. I don't know why they had that at the expo. I couldn't really read it, but we had the kids with us and they were excited for that. And they said that was going to be the souvenir for the dog. So that was that.
Yeah.
And then after the expo, we were deciding to either enjoy their pasta meal, which was on site.
So the pasta meal was basically someone standing at the bottom of a staircase saying you have to pay before you get in, but they wouldn't really describe what the meal was or anything else. And there weren't a lot of people going up there. Plus, we're in Rome, Italy. I figured we could probably find pasta a lot of different places and it'd probably be better. So we did have a little conflicting, you know, opinion about what to do.
Yeah, it was because yours truly was a little bit hangry. I hadn't had any food since the plane ride and I was tired. So I was like, just feed me now. But then Ryan, who lives off photosynthesis, decided, let's not do that. And so, you know.
So give us a comment on whether or not you'd go to the pasta dinner or you would go to get pasta in Rome somewhere else where you could actually see what you're getting first.
Yeah, that was kind of a little bit weird. So, yeah. But so anyway, so we headed back to Trastevere and unloaded all our stuff in our hotel room. At that time, it was already kind of late, you know, because we'd gotten in so late, and we decided to just do separate dinners instead of trying to re-meet with my brother and then his friend and all that stuff. We just kind of headed down, and guess what? There was pasta everywhere.
It was good.
Yeah, so you headed to a, I don't remember the name of the place. Do you remember what you had?
I did. I had a pasta that we had like, what happened? Mushrooms or some other things in it. And then you had a pasta that was like cheesy pasta, like a fettuccine almost.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
fettuccine. I don't know. We'd have to, it's hard because it's like, you know, it's in a different language too. So we couldn't read it all, but.
But it was just pasta. And the reason we didn't have pizza was because I knew I was going to have pizza every day for the next week.
We actually got a pizza there too for the kids.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But yeah, so then we ate that. And then what did we do? We stopped for gelato.
We did.
So then it was time to head back to the hotel.
So we tried to get an early rest so that we could be ready for the marathon. And fortunately, we hadn't slept much the night before, fortunately or unfortunately, in the airplane. So it was pretty easy to get to sleep.
Yeah. And the fun part about the place we were staying was that it was on the third floor, which I wasn't worried about, but I was worried about it because I really wanted my brother to go see it. And knowing that it was his first marathon run, I figured if he didn't see it by then, he wouldn't see it for the rest of the trip because there was no way he was going to run up or walk up three flights of stairs, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so he didn't see the room and he never saw the room.
But so then race morning. We wake up. I felt super rested. The entire time in Italy, I actually felt like I slept so much better than I ever do at home. We got the kids dressed and headed over to my brother's hotel where we dropped off the kids as my sister-in-law, Anna, shout out to her, was watching them with her daughter, baby Beatrix. And the kids were excited because...
The kids had their little cousin and they got to hang out during the race. And we all went with... Letty, her brother, and one of her brother's friends.
Manny.
And we walked to the starting line.
Yeah. And so to give you a little oversight of where this would take place, because Rome is such a beautiful city, the race starts at Fori Imperiali, and it ends at the Colosseum, which they're both really close together. Some of the points that you'll pass is Arco di Constantino, Circo Massimo, Porta San Paolo, Pyramid of Cestius, Basilica St. Paul, St. Peter's Basilica, Foro Italico, Piazza Augusto Imperatore, and the Spanish Steps, the Capitoline Hill Steps, the Theater of Marcellus, the Mouth of Truth, and just so, so many more. And obviously, if you don't know, it goes by St. Peter's Basilica, like I said, which is, you know, it goes through the Vatican, which we'll get into.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I remember that. But yeah, so we went there. It actually like was predicted to be a little colder than it was. Or it turned out to be, and fortunately, because I don't really like being cold, it was a little bit warmer, and it was actually sunny for most of the race, which was kind of nice. So we got there and we had our like throwaway clothes that you had,
yes.
And jackets and other stuff in our bags. But you really only needed it for the walk there, and you probably didn't even need much otherwise.
Yeah, it was almost like Ryan could check his throwaway jacket, which I prohibited from happening because it was an Under Armour bright blue throwaway jacket that needed to go.
Letty wanted to go. Yeah, she got it for me before at Goodwill or something? I don't remember.
At Goodwill specifically for this race.
Yeah.
So we weren't going to take it home.
So it's kind of funny because it was like for lacrosse or something and it had a picture of like a bear on it. So I have no idea where it was from because it just said it had lacrosse sticks and like a bear on it. So whatever icon, it's probably some high school team or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, the start was actually really like kind of chaotic and it's like too many people for the space that they had. because they had all these trucks laid out. You had to go, that part was organized, I think, in the sense that like you had to have your bag and you can put it in whatever truck matched your numbers. And so that was kind of nice, but there just wasn't a lot of space. So people were like, you know, just trying to get through to get to their stuff and drop it off. And then even between the trucks and the start line, you know, it was just packed full of people. So there's still people from the start line backed up through the trucks where you're dropping your stuff off. And so before the start, everyone kind of just stood in one big pile and it wasn't really divided much. I mean, maybe it was better somewhere else, but it wasn't really divided much by times or anything. They had certain people had different categories or so. Like you were category A and the people without like fast times were D or something like that. But
yeah, you were organized by time. So I was corral A. We were all going to run together anyway. But we never made it to the corrals. We literally got stopped in the tracks.
There is no way to get
through. Between the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And we also saw the pacers also getting stuck. We saw balloons ranging from 3 hours and something to 5 hours, all next to each other.
All different paces, yeah.
Even though the race had already started. So, but it didn't matter to us anyway. It's going to be Stevens, my brother's first marathon. So we just kind of went with it and eventually crossed the starting line.
Yeah. So we were, expectations beforehand. We were planning on just going slow. I mean, Steven was training for the marathon, but then he had gotten sick. So then he didn't get to train like he wanted to. And this is kind of his first intro into running in general, even too.
No, like we said, we were just going to plan on running together. So that worked out perfectly well. At the start, there was, I almost said graffiti, but I mean,
Confetti.
So yeah, so that was beautiful. And obviously, you know, you see the morning sunrise and you have the Colosseum. The air is perfect and you're running. I mean, I was literally in heaven. I felt like I died and I was in heaven. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah, so we started off right by the Coliseum. I mean, it's hard to miss. A lot of the other stuff, I think, was you know, some of the other places in that part of Rome. I think they had barriers up, so it was like you weren't able to look at it that much at the beginning. Plus, there's just so much going on with people and stuff. But then, as soon as we started, it did get better. It was like, you know, it thinned out relatively quickly, I guess.
It did, yeah.
At least enough so you could run comfortably. You weren't like bumping into people the whole time.
Yeah. I had a fall within the first quarter mile.
Well, we were running and, you know, typical marathons at the beginning when there is still a lot of people, you know, people start spreading out to the sidewalks and stuff like that. So we were actually running on one of the sidewalks, but then the sidewalk stopped and it wasn't like a gradual, it was just like a little curb. And Letty was looking around somewhere
videotaping,
not looking where she was running. And she missed the fact that we were going off a curb.
I literally rolled my ankle off it. But saving factor was that it was a step down. So I had enough time, usually fall on my face, but enough time for my arms to come out and like catch me right before that would happen.
It wasn't a bad fall.
It was the good ankle. So it was a good thing. So with that, you know, I felt awake and fresh, and we started this marathon.
Do you have any memorable experiences from the first half?
I remember the Italians being very friendly and cheerful. I remember there being a lot of Mario Brothers.
I don't remember seeing a lot of Mario Brothers. There was one very memorable Mario, though.
Oh, yes. So there was a bunch of runners pushing wheelchairs, and this guy didn't have anyone in his wheelchair. So instead, he had placed a boombox on there, and he was playing, you know, European music, which I just remember videotaping my brother because my brother knew that song, and it gave him, you know, when you hear a song and it's just your vibe. And I think that was probably his fastest mile. He was just like recording himself with Mario, running to it, and he just felt so happy. And that made my heart so happy.
I'm glad it was happy. So there is this guy, he was dressed up as Mario, he was pushing a wheelchair. We don't know the whole story of it, but there was a speaker in the wheelchair, is what he said, but he also had headphones on and a microphone. And so like the music was playing and he was basically trying to hype people up the whole time. He wasn't like singing to the music. He was like, let's go, let's run. And like the whole time, like as he was running the marathon with a wheelchair.
I completely missed that. Was it in Italian?
I think he did. I think he did both.
Oh, I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty fun. So he was basically trying to hype up people as he was running through. I wonder if he has some cool backstory. I don't know. Like, but anyway, that was in the first half, I think, right? That
yeah, we saw yeah, him, but it was pretty early on.
But yeah, it was a little ways away, but
yeah, and other things that we saw were a lot of people cheering. There was people dressed up like gladiators on the sides. Mm-hmm. And I just remember seeing the sights and being in awe of, you know, Rome is such an old city. It's just really cool to see that on foot. You know, just imagine people close the road for you and you're sightseeing on foot. So that was really, really cool. At kilometer 13-14... we got to see our kids, and my brother got to see his wife and his daughter. And that was really emotional for me because I run a lot of races and I never get to run with family, or you run with family in the combination and also seeing my kids. So that was cool. My son gave me a big hug. My daughter gave me a little hug and she gave me that look and she was like, "Mom, why are you stopping? You need to keep running." And I said, "Liana, the time doesn't matter. We're running this for fun." And she kind of rolled her eyes and she was like, "You need to get going again," which was kind of interesting.
She was worried about you because a lot of people had gone by before you.
Oh, she always does.
No, it was cool to see. It was cool to see them all excited and cheering on. I think they, you know, took the energy of the crowd around them and Letty's energy, as she always is, and were high-fiving people according to our, you know, according to their aunt. You know, they were high-fiving and people were running across the race course to give them high fives, you know, before we got there. And so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. And Liana also told me that this was the best day of the whole trip for her. So it was kind of cool to hear, you know, getting inspired by running. I don't really ever try to push our kids into running, but, you know, maybe we do just subconsciously.
Subliminally.
We're sending subliminal messages. Anyhow, so after that, let's see. My brother, well, we'll have him on, so he'll tell you about his own race. Any other things that you remember seeing during the race that really inspired you or that really stuck with you?
I do remember the cobblestones a lot. It wasn't maybe as bad as I thought running on them, but there were some areas where you were better off choosing a path as opposed to just running, you know, anywhere you wanted to. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it might have been.
I think the cobblestones, you know, like they said, there was about 6 kilometers of cobblestones. I feel like they didn't matter to us as much because of our pace. We were going slow and easy. But I think when you're racing and you're exhausted and you're just trying to have a certain footstep constantly, I think that would have bothered me a lot. I definitely wouldn't try to race on that. Also, you know, some of them are worn down a little bit and they're a little bit more slippery. So if you're racing, you know, that's something definitely to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit more energy to run over cobblestones. And when you're running in a marathon, and if you're running at your limit, then that can make a difference. Not even just, like you say, making sure you don't fall, but also, you know, there's even rivets or, you know, ruts in the road or so, which can mean you're like stepping up or down over things. And, you know, it's not a big deal over a little bit, but when you're running a long time and again at your limit, it makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do remember the back half, I was walking on we were running on a paved road and I was thinking, wow, this is really flat and paved. And so that kind of, I guess, gives you an idea of a lot of the race wasn't super flat and even.
Yeah, that you noticed it like that. At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, UCAN. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try. UCAN uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. UCAN powders, gels, and bars are powered by LifeSteady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night.
It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, LiveSteady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried UCAN now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad, and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the U.S., including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Chiara D'Amato, all use UCAN for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? Especially because Marathon Running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to ucan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using UCAN and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to ucan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. Hey runners, have you ever heard of Runner Athletics? That's R-U-N-U-R. Runner Athletics is the ultimate go-to brand for all your athletic apparel needs. Picture this. Soft joggers, perfect companions for your running journey. The Runcation joggers are made from crazy soft Runcation fabric. They're oversized, baggy, and crafted with the perfect weight fabric to keep you comfortable at any climate. Now, if you prefer a snug fit, check out their Runactive joggers. They're designed for both performance and styles with no cotton and nothing to worry about. Last but not least, pair your outfit with the matching Runcation jacket for warmth and style. So, don't compromise on style and comfort. Check them out at runner.run, that's R-U-N-U-R.run, and use code RUNUR_MRP20 for 20% off. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show. So during the marathon, we met a lot of cool people.
Yeah, during the race, you saw some gladiators that wanted to take their picture with you while you were running, which is kind of random. But
so I stopped and let them take the picture, and they wrapped an Italian flag around me.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with that picture.
And I actually, so at the second half of the marathon, I don't know if we're getting to that yet, but someone said, oh, Marathon Running Podcast, because I happen to be wearing the Marathon Running Podcast shirt. And they're like, I know that podcast. And I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe somebody recognized the podcast while we're running there.
That was cool.
But that was really cool. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really neat.
Yeah. We're getting out there a little bit more. So that's good. Also, I remember that I saw, you know, the typical thing that you would think about Italy. I saw like a man that was wearing, kind of clothing, congregational clothing. I saw some nuns that were waving and cheering people on, a lot of kids.
So to me, I thought the crowds were very spread out, which was kind of neat. Like, you know, most of the race course, you had people there cheering. I mean, maybe near the end there was less, but that we were running slow, so a lot of people probably left. But it wasn't like super concentrated in one area, but yet it was all over the place, which was kind of neat.
Yeah, that was cool. That was definitely cool. Do you remember when it comes to food and stuff they were offering on the course? What is your recollection of that?
Yeah, they had a bunch of stations where they had water and then like a sports type drink. I don't know what it was called. And then they had some fruit. They didn't have the fruit and actually crackers and stuff until, I think it wasn't even until past halfway. So it was in the latter half of the race. And they actually in the latter half of the race, and I don't know, maybe it was just because we were running slower, but they had like run out of cups in some of the places. So they were like, just had hoses that people were drinking out of and things like that. One thing that was impactful to me was that they had sponges in water to like wipe off your face, and that was really cool, or to wipe off whatever, you know, like the sweat and everything else. And I actually really liked that, although I did see that it made for a lot of trash and cool pictures of sponges like parting the road. But I liked it because it was nice to get kind of that sweat off or the saltiness off you and feel fresher.
Yeah, I remember that now. I don't really recall much of the food either. I remember that we were on our legs long time and enough to eventually feel a little bit of hunger. I did like the idea of the sponges. I just wasn't warm enough to use a cold sponge on my body. I felt like, you know, running in a sports bra was enough, and anything else was going to make me kind of get too cold. I also don't like the pollution part of that part, of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they clean it up, but the food wise, they had, you know, the bananas, they had some oranges, which we never actually got to, apples. They had, like a kind of a cracker that was mildly sweet cracker. And then there's like one station, I think, that had some additional stuff there. But it was funny because, you know, by the time we got to the food stations, all oranges were gone. Initially you had bananas and other stuff, but then further along, the bananas were no longer being cut. You just like have full bananas. And then they were really green bananas and full apples. I think I'm sure over time they kind of got lazy and didn't want to, you know, keep cutting and like preparing stuff. So the further along we got, like the less prepared it seemed to have
gotten.
But
the more food you would get. And then eventually, same with the sports drink, you know, you would have a full bottle. And then you and I were kind of feeling bad. Like, we're like, you want to share this? Because I don't want to just take a zip of this massive half gallon bottle and then just toss it. So then I found myself running with this big jug of liquid. And eventually I would just, you know, drop it somewhere, but yeah.
Well, the guy actually like poured it into a smaller bottle for us and then we shared it. And so, and that worked out better.
Yeah. But. So, another thing that happened during the run was, my brother, when he was getting into the kind of negative headspace, was saying to us, oh, I should be running with someone else. I should be running with this guy. And he was pointing at a gentleman that was running in front of us and sometimes behind us, kind of always the same pace. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to check out this guy. I ran past him because everybody's bib had their name and a flag next to it. So I ran past him and kind of peeked at his flag, and I couldn't recognize his creepy country's flag. Yeah, it was kind of creepy that I did that. And so then in order to avoid the creepiness, I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Letty. I just wanted to see what country you're from. And he said he was from Tanzania. His name was Patrick, and it was his first marathon as well. So I told Patrick, my brother Steven is running your pace. Would you like to run with us a little bit? And he was very excited because he was on his own running that pace and kind of struggling. So for the rest of the marathon, and I want to say it was probably more than half, we ran with Patrick. So our crew of four turned into a crew of five. And now, you know, I know we've been dragging this on forever, but eventually we all crossed the finish line as a human chain. I was holding Ryan's hand, who was holding Manny's hand, who was holding Steven's hand, who was holding Patrick's hand. That video can be seen on Instagram, and it's super beautiful. It makes me emotional. It was so cool. You know how you like run this marathon in this big city and then you cross the finish line together.
Well, Patrick also was signed up for another marathon within the month, right? Or a month later?
Yeah. Steven kept in touch with him and he's still doing it. I think it's Madrid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Madrid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in his home country, there is a marathon too, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And so we might actually do that at some point because that sounded really cool.
Yeah. So with that, now we're going to tune over and speak with my brother. All right. So we're on here with our guest, my brother, Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hi, Letty. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
Feeling good today. Feeling good.
So it's been a couple of weeks since we did run the Rome Marathon, and kind of handbook, what always happens after somebody runs a marathon is they hate it towards the end of it. But I think, Steven, you already signed up for the 2025 marathon. Is that right?
I haven't formally signed up yet, but I think I will do the same one again.
He is mentally committed to it, which I applaud. I love that about everything marathoning. And I told you that was going to happen, but let's give our listeners a little bit of a background for your, your marathon. You are currently 44 years old and you just started running. When was it, December or November?
I think October, November, sometime when we had this crazy idea.
Yeah, and we kind of want to clarify it because there's two stories going on about how this marathon came about. In my head, I remember telling you Rome is your favorite city, and you said, yes, I want to run the Rome Marathon.
Yes, I think you started talking about it first. Yes.
And then you decided to sign up.
I decided to sign up because I think there was some question on your side if you could do it, but I needed to be committed. And so I think I signed up before you.
Yeah.
I was committed.
Yes. You were committed. You roped in another friend of yours to also run his first marathon. And so you had a little bit of time to train. So tell our listeners what you used for training and how you approached your training. Was your goal to just finish the marathon, or what was your idea of this marathon thing?
The goal at the end was to just finish. Initially, I thought I should be a little bit ambitious, and I wasn't sure about the time, but I thought I was going to do better than I ended up doing. I think my problem is that I live in the eternal winter in Wisconsin, and running outside was really difficult. And so for most of my training, I actually had to run inside. So all my long runs and most of my short runs, they were all on the treadmill, which ended up being, I don't know if that was good. I listened to your episodes where you talked about running on a treadmill for the marathon, and I just think it would have been better if I could have done it outside.
Yeah, I think living outside in general is more inspiring. It gets you going a lot easier than thinking, I'm going to run this on the treadmill.
So is it or is it not true that you looked up the prize money thinking you were going to win?
I definitely looked at the prize money, especially during rough times, to see if it could motivate me. I had no idea, though, that the winner was going to run in 2 hours and 5 minutes. And so that was very true for me. See, I'm so new to running. I have no idea. I think that was the problem, that I had no idea where I would fall, and I did not have anybody to sort of, no, I didn't try to bounce off ideas. I should have talked to you, Letty, a little bit more about the running and the training and how it's going. I just relied on this app that I had, the Run with Hall app. And I think looking back, it would have been better to not strictly follow some app and try and do that by myself. I think it would have been more fun and better if I had maybe run with other people, like a running group, or have somebody to talk to about my progress. I think it would have helped me a little bit more than just the app. I think at the end, I felt pretty alone with the app, and I wasn't really, you know, getting to the point where I wanted to be.
That's really a cool insight to see. But yeah, I think running groups are always definitely fun and good because it does provide a lot of motivation. And then as you were saying before about the treadmill, I remember from doing both marathons, because I've only done the one before that, but a big part of the latter half of it is just the pain of like impacting the ground all the time. And the treadmills are typically built so that you don't have as much impact, which may not prepare you as well for, you know, that part of the marathon.
Absolutely. I think the two downsides with the treadmill are that you can, I ran for, you know, up to 4 hours in the treadmill, and you just fall into a rut because you don't have to think about the pace at all. It's given. You just kind of, you know, go. I watched entire movies, just, you know, listening to the movies and run. And that's not really, you know, how it is on the outside. So that was one big thing. And yeah, you're absolutely right about my legs. At the last 6-7 miles, I felt like the limiting factor for me was not, you know, my heart or my cardiovascular system. It was my legs were just done. They were like beaten up and my feet hurt. And I felt like if I had fresh legs, you know, if my legs didn't hurt, I could have run the last third a little bit faster, but I just couldn't. Every step hurt. that was amazing to see how other people, you know, way, way older than me were just cruising by me at the last third. So that was amazing and humbling.
It's very humbling. And I think that's the thing with running. It's such a big learning experience that the mistakes you make now, you learn from, and then you just keep growing. And with that also, you know, the whole running group, making running more of your lifestyle. I mean, I think you did great. It was your first marathon. You didn't start running at 30. You started running at your age now. So it's, I think it can only get better from now on. I mean,
I successfully avoided running. Even if I did soccer and sports, I picked goalkeeper because it was a fun way to play soccer without having to run much. And so I can't believe that you talked me into this in my 40s. But here we are.
Well, I mean, so all in all, I know that you, well, tell us about the time where you hit the wall, and by the wall, hitting the wall, not meaning, you know, suddenly you felt crappy. Like, tell us about how your mind shifted and your thought process went from 1 second you're taking videos of yourself running with Mario pushing your wheelchair with music
to, yeah, Mario,
kind of cursing to where none of us really wanted to run next to you for a little while because you were making a couple of not so happy remarks.
Letty loves the emotional parts.
Well, you know, Mario was inspiring. I think he was sort of in the first third towards the middle, and I think after the, I remember when we passed the half marathon part, I remember thinking this would have been fun to stop now. So I think that maybe doing a half marathon first mentally would have been much more reachable. But then I remember after that thinking, okay, I don't feel as good anymore as I did at the beginning. And so mentally, I think that's where I first started struggling a little bit. And then at that point, my limiting factor was just, you know, that I wasn't, you know, in the marathon shape that I wanted to be in. And then the last 7 miles, that was after mile 19, it was all my legs. That's when I had to do a lot of the walking because I just, my legs just hurt. And I think Ryan was the one who said, or I think it was Ryan, you know, and when you did your first marathon, that at some point your feet just hurt, and it doesn't matter if you run or walk, they just hurt. Might as well run. Yeah. And so I tried to take that, but I think that was when I was very unhappy, and I remember thinking what a stupid idea this was and how much I hated it. But you know, I was glad you guys were there. That was the point where, you know, if you guys hadn't been there, maybe I would have said, screw this. But
and your new friend, Patrick, right? Patrick, the guy. Tell us your experience of meeting Patrick on the course and your rekindled, or your, not rekindled, your friendship that you have with him now.
Well, I mean, you know, friendship is, you know, we just, you know, like you, we're in touch over Instagram. I think what I noticed, what was fun, was that at some point you notice people who are about your pace. And they kind of like sometimes go by you a little bit, and then sometimes you go past them, and you see the same with that German guy, Frank, that we met. Yeah. So Patrick from Tanzania and Frank, I just noticed that, you know, we kind of passed them, they pass us, you know, back and forth. And after, you know, doing this for an hour, you kind of like, huh, you know, I wonder if they are cool. And then they both ended up being cool. And I am glad that you are so much more outgoing than me, and you just kind of chat people up. And then, you know, we ended up all hanging out together afterwards. That was actually fun. I thought that was a big fun part, where you meet people. Also, I also think I went to the expo when you did your Chicago marathon one time. And I remember feeling that energy at the expo where everybody's sort of excited about it. And there's all these vendors, but then everybody is like, you know, showing their name on the wall and, you know, looking at the course and taking pictures with a bib. I think that's a very positive, you know, energy that I discovered in Chicago last time. And then this time, definitely, I felt like I was more part of it.
Yeah, you were. I mean, you ran your marathon. So tell me about your thoughts when you finally saw that we were going back to the Colosseum cross and, you know, you saw the finish line and then we all sang the Kumbaya, held hands and cross that finish line. Yeah, tell me about that.
You made us hold hands. Yes. I think that I was at that point, honestly, I thought it was going to be this like experience, like, you know, you're born again or something. I was just numb, I think. At that point, it's beautiful surroundings, but I was just numb. Everything was just numb. So I didn't have any strong feelings when I crossed the line. I was like, you know, I was okay, we're done. Good. I made it. I didn't get picked up by that cart. at the end. That was my big worry. After my last long run when I was sick, I thought I was just going to get picked up by a bus and had to do that shameful ride home. I'm glad that didn't happen, but I was too numb from pain and exhaustion to feel like excited. I think that came like a couple days after.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So how sore were you right after, or the day after?
I was sore. I remember, you know, walking really weird, like getting up at night, and then I, like, you know, I had to take one step and like an old man. I felt like it was a preview of how you feel when you're a really old person. it was bad. It wasn't horrible. I mean, I wasn't dying in pain, and I was a little bit, you know, being in the medical field, I was worried that I was gonna get rhabdo or something. So rhabdo is when your muscles break down from overexertion, and then those byproducts, they can clog up your kidneys and cause issues with peeing and kidney failure and all that kind of stuff. I had read about that, about how some people who ran marathons and weren't really prepared got in trouble with that. And so then, you know, I was a little bit worried about that because I felt like I wasn't as ready as I should have been. And of course, you know, I thought about that and I looked at my pee quite a bit.
And fortunately, you still have functioning kidneys, right?
I do. I'm good for now.
Okay.
So did you get past the I never want to do this again, and maybe I'll sign up for another one after a few days, or how long did that take?
I was debating it because, you know, I think it is a lot of fun. I think it was also a lot of fun because you guys were all there. I do have some mixed feeling though about this running together, because I was clearly the slowest one. And at some point, I think I told Ryan that I felt like, you know, you guys are taking me for a walk. Like, I'm this old guy who can't really do much, and you guys are taking me out for a stroll on Sunday. And, you know, there's a little bit of a pride thing too. I felt like I wasn't, you know, on par. And so I was struggling with the idea, but I think I like the energy a lot that was happening around the marathon. And I think I'm going to do it again, but I'm not going to sign up for one like in 4 months or anything. I'm going to give myself some time to practice a little bit more reasonably. You know, like my sister is emphasizing, you know, bringing your base training up and all that stuff. And so I think that's a goal for next year.
And I'd run multiple half marathons. I mean, I hadn't trained very well for the marathon, and I've only run two now, but I had at least done several half marathons before that. So it's not like I was completely in the dark, you know?
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. I think having that mental preparation of what you're getting into is huge. Like, I had no idea what to expect. That's why I think I was a lot more nervous at the beginning. I didn't know what I was going to get myself into. I had done 5Ks, which back then 5Ks, you know, seemed like, you know, a reasonable thing to do. And now the 5K is sort of like a warm up before you do a marathon. And so it's a totally different world I'm diving into here. And I'm so glad that I, you know, I have my sister who is, you know, leading the way in that sense, my little sister. So I do have a newfound appreciation, Lady. I have to say, you know, when you're a spectator in the marathon and you see somebody go by pretty fast, you know, you can say, well, you know, I could run that fast. But then when you have to do it for, you know, hours and hours, you know, then you go, okay, well, that's a different animal right here. I think I asked you to speed up during the marathon when you walk, you know, when you're kind of going slow with me and, you know, that pace that you would normally have. And that was like, my mind was kind of blown.
Oh, wow. No, I mean, it does.
Yeah, no,
everything comes with training, though, right? You know, you don't wake up and run fast. It takes time to do that. And to piggyback on what Ryan was saying, running this marathon with you, I have done so many marathons, and the ones where I try really hard, they are the most painful ones. I have yet to have a marathon where I didn't have, or I, before Rome, I didn't have a marathon where I was thinking, where is the finish at some point during the race? With Rome, though, I could have kept running for hours, and it's my favorite marathon ever because of you, Ryan, the company, the city, and how gorgeous it was. It was fun. It was the perfect weather. It was, mm-hmm. It was great. We, you know, it was just all in all, you know, a great race. And we're glad that you got to do that as your first. And so now hopefully you will travel the world running marathons and incorporate running more into your lifestyle.
I can see how this becomes a lifestyle. I can see how people, you know, travel the world in different places with marathons. I'm not sure if that's my end goal. I think I have to see. I'm a beginner. I want to see the progress, and if you put some time into it, if, you know, what you get out of it. But I can see how it's addicting. I can definitely see how, with the right mindset, with the right expectation, that this becomes absolutely addicting. I can see it.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you for having me on as a newbie.
Right. So that was a great conversation with Stephen. Ryan, any last words? Would you run Rome again?
Yeah, I think so. I actually really enjoyed it, like at a slower pace too. We, especially at the latter half, we got to stop and look at stuff. And so that was kind of neat.
Yeah. And like we heard from Steven, he wants to do this annually until he dies. So, you know, we might be back there next year again. So thank you. If you guys are still here listening, we really appreciate your support. Let us know if there's anything that you want us to talk about in the upcoming episodes. We're always willing and able to find experts on whatever it is that interests you for marathon training.
And if you see us on the race course, yell at us and say hi, because I love it.
Yes. And we would love to take a picture with you. Well, me.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but you'd probably rather have a picture with her.
Oh, okay. Anyway, until next week.
Have a good week of running.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag, there's something for every runner.